Discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all of the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them at the breaking of the bread." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Well, I wonder if you have ever visited some famous roads. Maybe you've been to America and spent time and you traveled the wrong Route 66. Or you've been to the Royal Mile. Or you've been to California and you've gone down the loopy loop road of Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. Can you think of some roads that might be famous that you've encountered? Why were you there? What journey led you to that road? And who might you have met along the way while you were there? There's a really famous road in America, and it may not be famous here, but I'm going to go with it. There's a great television show for children that's called Sesame Street. Are you familiar with Sesame Street?
Yes.
Yeah. What a great road, all the roads. Can you tell me how to get there at Sesame Street? Well, friends, our sermon this evening is brought to you by the letter E. So, in the spirit of Sesame Street, shall we begin with Emmaus? This road, this journey, is a very significant one for the life of every Christian. And every one of us will have an encounter along a type of road, an encounter with Christ. And so as we look at our text this evening, there's a few things that come out from this experience. As we can see, the first thing that happens is the two were walking along the road 7 miles from Jerusalem towards Emmaus, and they were talking with each other about all that had just transpired. A stranger comes alongside them and wants to know, what is it that you're talking about? And they are downcast. And their response is merely, are you the only one around here that hasn't heard, seen, or experienced the things that have just transpired? I mean, quite an event has just occurred. And they proceed to say, well, we had hoped that this man, this Jesus, was going to redeem Israel. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. But the chief priests handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And so the first thing that we need to pay attention to on the road to Emmaus is expectations. What are the expectations? What have they come to understand? What is it that they were discussing? We see it in the words, but he said, we had hoped. But what was the hope that they were looking for? The redemption of Israel? We know Jesus was a prophet. He was mighty in all the things that he did and all the things that he said. We walked with him. We talked with him. We sat at the table with him. We experienced all of these things. But our chief priests, they crucified him. And so all of our expectations, all of the things that we had hoped for, have not actually come to pass. And we're really quite confused and we're actually pretty downtrodden. We are, in one sense, somewhat aimless as we wander upon this road. And here then begins the second part. We had hoped. And Jesus' response then in their encounter is, you fools. You fools. Wake up. Have a look about you. What was your expectation? What did you think? Well, let me expand what Jesus does. He opens the scriptures and then he begins to explain and he begins to tell, starting with Moses and the prophets. And he begins to teach and he begins to open their eyes to a certain extent of all that had been said about him beforehand, all of the things that had measured up to him. And they probably would have had a general understanding because they had spent time with Jesus. And things started to maybe make a little bit of sense. But to understand the whole of it and the necessary components of what Jesus comes to do, we think then all the way back in the Noahic covenant. Promise. The Abrahamic covenant, a continued promise, a blessing, the Mosaic, taking them out of bondage and slavery, and the imagery of the Passover, into the Davidic covenant. In this lovely line at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, I wonder, did Jesus begin to tell them about his lineage and where he comes from, and going all the way back, and all of the stories, and all of the imagery that comes along with it? Of how this was from this was from this, and the promise and the story hasn't changed at all. In fact, it's all been leading to this very moment. Perhaps he told them about the Psalms 22, 23, and 24, about he was the one, he was the king, he's the good shepherd, that he is the only one who could ascend to the top of the hill that they so longed for and that they talked about. That it wasn't an empire restored, but a people restored. That it wasn't just the law and civics and ethics restored, but it was their hearts that were meant to be restored. That the very chief priests who claimed that he was blaspheming, talking about the name of God, the law that is perfect, the temple where God resides, and the fathers who had dictated all these over generations and generations, that he was the one who fulfilled all of those things. Perhaps he spoke of Isaiah or Daniel. We don't know exactly what it is that Jesus said to them. But what we do see is that they weren't necessarily content with this stranger when they arrived at the place where they were going to stay, that he kept going. They were hungry to keep hearing more. The day is nearly over. You should stay. Let us host you. And so we move then from the encounter they have, where Jesus expounds, to Eucharist, where he breaks bread and he blesses it. And he reminds them then of the new covenant. All of the covenants, God's promises, his faithfulness, sustained and continued in the new covenant of his blood. And so when we think then of expectation as we walk the road, we have to have an encounter with the risen Christ. We have to have an encounter with what we might think the kingdom of God looks like. All of our studies, all of our opening of the Word, all of our liturgy, all of our church history, our background, our experiences, our culture. Is it in line with what Jesus comes and what he ushers in and what he brings in the fulfillment of the whole of Scripture? Have we made our expectations, sadly, an idol? Have we encountered Christ as he is, or have we encountered Christ as the one in whose image we have made him? So I think that we look at expectations and we shift them, because the road to Emmaus gives us something different from expectations and encounter towards encouragement. What does Jesus do to encourage? He says, I am with you to the end. And then there's excitement, and the excitement that he is risen. He's not there. The women went to the tomb. They didn't find him. They were a little confused by that. But when their eyes were open, they see he is alive. He is risen. He is present. And they got up and they immediately went back to their companions who were talking that Jesus had appeared to Simon Peter. And he says, well, guess what? He appeared to us on the road. And then when we hosted him for a meal, he broke bread. And then he vanished. I have to say, psychologically, what an event. Be confusing. I'll be honest with you. I would probably be in a state where I may not recognize him myself. Stranger on the road. And then he just vanishes. Friends, that's exciting. That is exciting. You've got to admit, that would be, you'd want to tell your friends. I was eating with this guy and then he just vanished. What? Engagement. Go and tell. There is an engagement that this encounter, that this experience, that this road, that this journey leads us to then do something about it. To go and tell. To engage the world. To invite people on the journey. I think a lot of the Lord of the Rings and the idea of going and getting my pack ready and going on an adventure. As long as second breakfast is in the cards, I'm there. But with engagement then comes empowerment. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit that not long after this descends upon them. They're given a mission to go, to tell, to the ends of the earth.
with the Helper, the Comforter, the Guide, the Advocate, the one who performs miracles in the name of God and this Trinitarian beauty of God the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They're all held together. That everything that happens and everything that is done is at the will of the Father, made possible through what Christ has done on the cross in his life and his ministry and his resurrection. And then as he ascends to the right hand of the Father, where he will come back and judge the quick and the dead, the Spirit descends. We talked about it this morning in tutorial, and that the kingdom of God, that the Holy Spirit is the down payment. The thing that enables us and gives us action. But friends, I think one of the most beautiful and remarkable parts of the story for us as the Christian, having then encountered Christ and adjusted our expectation, is enjoyment. If we're not enjoying this, what are we doing? The Christian life can be difficult. There are things about it that may seem like we're giving so much up. But what does Jesus say in John, where he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life, and that you may have life to the full. This life is meant to be fulfilling. If we're not enjoying it, we then need to revisit the expectation. This is a life that is meant to be enjoyed. And so for us, we have to ask these questions. Do we recognize Jesus when we encounter him on our own maze road? As we're walking, as we're asking questions, as we're trying to make sense of what has happened, the world around us. That we know that the already has broken in, but the not yet is still present among us. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for our own expectations? For our own ministry, for our own context, for our own parishes, for our own families, for our own relationships. How does the fact that Christ has risen change us from guilt to grace? As we look to the table then, to Eucharist, the idea of Eucharist or Eucharizo or to give thanks. Enjoyment is birthed out of gratefulness. And so as we come this evening to partake of this feast, to break bread, as we partake in the text, as we find ourselves in it, where Jesus breaks bread and blesses it, may our eyes be open as we eat. Amen.
Amen.